The book of Exodus, chapter 28. You're turning to, could I just say, those who wish to renew subscription for the magazine for the current, I think it's £10 for the year, will take orders before the presbytery in April. But do consider that. Verse 6 of Exodus 28. And they shall make the ephod. They shall make the ephod. And then down in verse 12. They shall put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial. Exodus 28, verse 6 and verse 12. Let us, with our Bibles open, just look to the Lord. Father in heaven, as we turn now to consider thy precious word, the study of this another garment of our high priest, we pray that we may see not only the description of Aaron's garments, but see our blessed Savior, our great high priest. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Some time ago, I had the very moving, emotional experience, as some of you also have had, of standing at Thiefel Tower and looking at the thousands, in fact, to be exact, 72,195 names of missing British and South African soldiers whose bodies were never recovered after the First World War. How moving it is to see that memorial. Then a few days later to stand at the Menin Gate at the last post, when again there's a monument there containing the names of 54,896 Commonwealth soldiers, of whose bodies were never recovered after the First World War. Also to lay a wreath at the grave of my wife's grandfather, who's buried there in after a battle in Ypres. Very moving. We have memorial stones in our own land. And you see them there with the names of individuals who were called upon to remember. And verse 12 says that the names of the children of Israel, now each tribe, of course, 12 names, but encapsulating all the members of the tribe, the names were on the stones for a memorial. A memorial. Now, the word ephod, some people pronounce it ephod, but I always grew up pronouncing it ephod, so we'll keep pronouncing it that way. It's this garment here, the outer garment. That's what we're talking about this morning. It's a strange word because it's not a translation. It's a Hebrew. The translators didn't put it into English. They left it in Hebrew. So we're pronouncing a Hebrew word. That's why people are not sure exactly how to pronounce it. But it's a Hebrew term. What it means literally is a priestly garment or a garment of worship. A garment of worship. It's to do with the ministry of the priest. In other words, above all, this is the garment that is associated with the high priest's ministry. Now, the ordinary priests sometimes wore ephods, but they were just of white linen. But the high priest had this beautiful ephod of glory and of beauty. Three things I want to say about it. Number one, I believe he wore this beautiful priestly garment for recognition. For recognition. You know, in the British Army, if you see a general in his dress uniform, not talking about out in the midst of a battle, but the officers put on their dress uniform, and here they have on their shoulder, if it's a British officer, they might have so many little tips, or they might have, I think it's a major, is it? You wear the crown, and the general, of course, and so on, different insignia upon the shoulders of the British officer, and you see his tunic. And you can tell which regiment by the different little flashes and places on it and the buttons and so on. It's the general, it's the officer's official uniform. It identifies who he is, what his work is. Well, when you look at the high priest, you think of the ephod as his official uniform, signifying his rank. And it's primarily a prayer garment. It's associated with prayer. It's associated with worship. It's the distinctive garment of the high priest. Now, it was made of a rectangular piece of material on the front. you had a similar piece of material on the back. It's two pieces, almost like an apron. Or you think of the men sometimes, and we've some there in the store there, just as where you hang your coats. There's a couple of those, you know, these reflective vests. Sometimes the men put them on to direct the traffic. I'm an official traffic director. And you see the coat. In fact, if you travel over in Europe, isn't it? I think it's the traffic law, isn't it? You have to have one of those in your vehicle. Because if you have a breakdown, you're not just to get out and change the tire. You're to put on your yellow vest. You're now saying, I'm a driver in danger and trouble. Help me. But you put on. Well, think of it something like that. When he put this on, it signified his rank, his position. So you've got the clasp at the front. Now, we talked about the linen. That spoke that he's the righteous one. We talked about the blue. He's the heavenly one. We talked away down about the pomegranates and the bells there. He's the living one who come out again. Now, when we look at this, he's the priestly one. Our Savior is the priest for us. Now, notice verse 6. Here's important about the recognition. Notice, and they shall make, it's the first garment that was made. You notice that? We began from the inside, but the ephod was the first garment that God described. Aaron is to wear garments. First of all, the ephod. And when you go to chapter 39, do you know in chapter 39, it's the first one that was made? It's the first one that was made. So in other words, when people saw him wearing this, they knew who he was. They knew who he was. The first one described, the first one made. Now, with the ephod, there were other things linked. There was, of course, you can't see them too well from down there, but the clasps. Two pieces, it was held together with these golden clasps, and on it there's a representation of a large stone, a precious stone. And a precious stone, that joined it together. And they're very significant. I've talked about the curious girdle down here as well. And then there was the breastplate, made of the same material. We don't have time to talk about that this morning. And then there were rings. See that? God said, make golden rings. Make laces of blue. We're going to talk about those sometime later. But they all symbolize the public ministry. Can you see what I'm saying? When he put this ephod on, recognition. He's the high priest. Now, look at verse 6, the colors. They shall make the ephod gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen, which of course is white. Do you know that 24 times in the book of Exodus you have those five? 24 times. Same sequence. 24 times. Most times it's associated with the tabernacle. You saw it. They held it up earlier. And you've got inside the holy place and the holiest of all. You've got the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the white twine linen. 24 times. In other words, when they saw Aaron, it was for recognition that he was associated with the tabernacle and the ministry of the tabernacle. I want you to see today the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thinking of his priestly ministry. The ministry that he's carrying on today in the heavenly tabernacle in heaven. Now gold. Gold. I've already showed you inside the tabernacle was all gold. Gold is the symbol of something precious. It's the symbol, and surely I don't need to go into it, it's the symbol of heaven, of deity, of glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not just an ordinary man. He's from heaven. He's from heaven. Now, turn to chapter 39. I know we read it, but this is very interesting. I'm telling you, a lot of people would love a coat like this today. Even a little bit, because you look at chapter 39 of Exodus a moment. And there you have in verse 2 our colors again. But look at verse 3. They did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen, with cunning work, skilled workmanship. Now, do you see what that verse is saying? Now, on this model, this may disappoint you. That's only gold thread. It's not real gold. It's a good representation, but it's not real gold. But when Aaron put on that garment, it was not gold thread. It wasn't gold thread. It was actual gold. I was reading, I'll not give you the facts, but I was just reading how you can take a wee tiny, tiny bit of gold and keep beating it and beating it and beating it until it stretches way, way, way out. Because gold is very malleable. You're able to stretch it into wires. And men beat gold into thin, thin, thin plates, and then they cut it into thin, thin wires, and they worked the wire like thread, but it wasn't thread. They worked it into the blue, they worked it into the purple, they worked it into the scarlet, they worked it into the white. You know what that's telling me? Now, with Aaron, it was only a garment. Ah, but our Lord Jesus Christ in his glorious person, you see, he's divine, but yet he's human. Can you see it? His deity and his humanity. As royalty, he's the God King. He's God and man. And verse 3 there tells us it was worked into. It was worked into. Now, when the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they wrote, "We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Oh, I know at the transfiguration he revealed himself in more of his intrinsic glory, but we're bringing out the point that the gold was right through it. And when we think of our high priest, he's God. Not just man. He's God. That's why, as man in the boat on the lake in the storm, he slept. He knew what it was to get tired. Ah, but he was able to stand up and rebuke the wind. And the waves just calmed down like little puppy dogs, as it were, lying down. Because he's God. And when you read the Gospels, you see the gold in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already seen the other colors. We'll not go into them. Look at the shoulder pieces here. We're told about them in verse 12 and so on of Exodus 28, the shoulder pieces. Ouches, by the way, in verse 13. I know we're trying to say, ouch, that hurt, or ouch. But ouches just mean a setting. A setting. Some of you ladies have rings on and you look down, you have a diamond, haven't you? Or some other stone. And there's the little setting. The setting. That's all it means. The setting that holds it. So if you're at verse 13, that's all that that means. And you've got the chains and you've got the six names there. You'll see it all there. The six names that are listed out. The six names of the oldest on one side and then the six youngest on the other side. So that's for recognition. In other words, when you saw Aaron, there's my name. Let me turn to the second word. But when I look at this garment for recognition, but when I look at this garment, representation. Representation. That was the duty, the ministry of the high priest. You see, an Israelite looked at him dressed like that. There's my high priest. That's the man God chose out to represent me. There's my names. And you see, the New Testament teaching is everyone, and you're saved this morning. You're there. That's you. Your name's there. Oh yes, in the Old Testament, it was the names of the people of Israel. But in the New Testament, the people of God are called the spiritual Israel. We're the chosen of God. The church. Our names are there in upon his shoulders. He's our representative. He's representing the people. Aaron, the high priest for Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the church's high priest in glory. Can you not see it? He's wearing the ephod. Now, what did he do with this? He went in dressed into the holy place. You saw it in the tabernacle with pictures of heaven. He went in there. But who else is going in? The names. Now, they couldn't literally go in. They were sinners. But he was going in representing them. Can you see it? When he wore this garment and he went into the holy place that spoke of heaven, he was going in on behalf of representing all his people. And that's the point of the book of Hebrews. Keep reading Hebrews chapter 4 to chapter 10 during these studies. The point is, Christian, you have a greater than Aaron. And today he is, he already has entered into the real heaven. And he's there on your behalf. You are linked to him. Look in the verse again, verse 12, Exodus 28. Put the names, see that, the stones of memorial onto the children of Israel. Now, look down to verse 21. And the stones shall be with the names. See that, there's the names. Now, that's talking about the breastplate, because the names were there as well on the breastplate. Aaron shall bear their names, shall be there. And they're there, the names on the shoulder, they're there on his heart. That's the point I'm making. They're there in his heart as well. And we will get to that later. But go down to verse 29. Aaron shall bear the names. You got that? Bear the names. In verse 30, you have it again, bearing his names. But just for time, we're going to look at other verses. We'll go back to verse 12 again. Put in the end of verse 12, or middle of verse 12, I shall put the two stones for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear, see that word, bear their names. And then you have it in verse 29, 30, 39, so on. Shall bear. The bearing speaks of a burden. The Assyrians, you read in the Old Testament, to put the burdens, they caused the people to bear heavy burdens. You remember the Savior said the Pharisees, they caused the people to bear heavy burdens upon their shoulders. The high priest bore the names. Not just the names are there. It's not just the names are there. It says in verse 12, our text, he bore their names. All the weight. Can you see it here in the picture? All the weight, verse 7, he shall bear their names. Remember the lovely passage in Isaiah 53. Surely you know Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 verse 11, he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12 of Isaiah 53, he was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sins of many. In 1 Peter in the New Testament 2:24, who in his own self bear our sins. Can you see it? Exodus 28:12 is saying, it's not just the names were there, but he bore those people. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore you on his shoulders. Picture him in the garden in heaviness, and he's weeping, he's crying. Tells us that in Hebrews, groaning for you. He's getting ready to go to the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. What's happening? Your high priest, he's bearing the iniquity and the awful weight and load of your heinous, hellish sins in his own body. He bore their names. He bore their names. And he still bears you before the throne. Your name is on his shoulders. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11 of Exodus 28. With the work of an engraver in stone. Isn't that lovely? The names weren't written on these stones in pencil or pen. They were engraved right in. You know what it's like when you get an engraving done on something. In other words, their names wouldn't wear off, be wiped off, or be washed off. Their names were engraved. They were written perfectly, beautifully, by skillful men filled with the Holy Spirit. But, oh believer, God has written your name upon your Savior.
with a skillful hand, a steady hand, a strong hand, and he's bound you. You are bound to Christ. Can you see it? The names are bound to him. If you're saved, this is all about your security in Christ. Why? You come to Christ, you've trusted him as your Savior. How will I know that I'm still saved? Because your high priest has your names. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. You're bound because you're engraven. You're engraven upon your high priest. Now, who are listed here? Verse 9, the children of Israel. I love this little expression if you have your Bible there, verse 10. Six of their names, one stone, the other six names, according to, look at it, their birth. Their birth. To be represented on these stones and to be born by the high priest, you had to be born into Israel. When you came to Christ, weren't you born again? You're born again by the Spirit of God. And when you were born again, God links you there. The Egyptians weren't on the shoulders. But all those who were born, they're there, equally there, entirely there. And we could say of our Savior, the High Priest, eternally there. Thank God we are on the stones. We're on the stones. You ever hear somebody say when they're in deep grief, I wish I had a shoulder to cry on. I wish I had a shoulder to cry on. Well, Christian, you have. Your high priest. Your high priest. Because not only was there the gold of his deity, there's his humanity. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He's able to sympathize with you. And you can go and pray, and there's strength there, and there's stability there. There's support. There's sympathy there. Oh, it's a wonderful study, the shepherds. I'd love to have time to go through the different shoulders in Scripture. I think of the shepherds. You remember Luke 15? The shepherd goes and finds the sheep. What does he do? He puts it upon his shoulders. Isn't that what the Lord did for us? We're there on his shoulders. You think of the shoulders of the sovereign in Isaiah 9 and 6. The government of the universe shall be upon his shoulder. Just one shoulder. My, when he picks up the lost lamb, he puts it upon his shoulders, plural. What about Samson? Do you know judges? He's one of the judges. Do you know in Nehemiah, judges are referred to as saviors of Israel? Saviors in the sense they delivered Israel. Christ is the Savior, of course, delivers us from sin and hell. What about, remember Samson? He was in the city held captive by the enemy and he's surrounded. And he went to sleep and he woke up. It says, these massive gates of the city, the Philistine says, we'll have him. We'll have the gates closed and we'll have him trapped. He'll not get out. We'll have him now. He woke up. And the Bible says he put his shoulders to the gates and he had superhuman strength. He didn't look like a Mr. Universe, or when I was young, it was Charles Atlas. If you rode away and bought the money, you do the exercises, you became a big muscle. He didn't have muscles, Samson. Say, how do you know? Because nobody knew where strength came from. It was superhuman. It was spiritual. Spirit God gave him strength. But he put his shoulders to the gates. And he carried him to the top of the hill. You know what that tells me? The Lord Jesus Christ, he was there surrounded by death. But thank God in that first resurrection day, up from the grave he arose. He tore the gates of death and carried them away. The shoulders. He puts us upon his shoulders. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. One other word. Look at verse 12 again. Look at verse 12 again. The first part of the verse talks about a memorial unto the children of Israel, but the last part of the verse, upon his shoulders for a memorial, and look at the words before the Lord. This is related to what I've just said, the representation, but it's a different aspect, the remembrance for a memorial. The word memorial means remembrance. Here's the different aspect. He wore the stones when the Israelite looked, he said, my name's there. The high priest is representing me. We look to Christ in heaven. He's representing me. But now we're looking at it from God's standpoint. When Aaron went into the holy place, God saw the names. God saw the names and he remembered his. his people. Now, of course God never forgets. Never forgets. But yet God uses human terminology in order to encourage us. I think an illustration to explain what I mean about this is, do you remember, and I don't have time to turn, Genesis chapter 9, the story of the rainbow after the flood. And God said, I will put the rainbow in the sky. I know we sing the little chorus, whenever I see a rainbow, remember God is love. That's our aspect. But you know in the book of Genesis, you know what God said to Noah in Genesis 9:14, when the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, I will remember my covenant. In Genesis 9:16, I will look upon the rainbow that I may remember my everlasting covenant. You know, the rainbow is not just a reminder to us. It's a reminder to Almighty God. And of course he knows everything, but it's for our encouragement. And God said to Noah and to him, to us, God says, whenever I see the rainbow, I will remember that I made a covenant. And what I'm saying is the stones were a remembrance to God. There's a verse in Isaiah 62 that talks about ye that make mention of the Lord. The margin of the Bible says, ye who are the Lord's remembrancers. Remembrancers. We don't usually use that word. In other words, Lord, I'm reminding you of your promise. And every time the high priest went in with the names, what was he doing? God saw those names upon the high priest, and he remembered the covenant that he had made. I was reading Moses this week, where he went before the Lord, and the people had sinned and deserved to be cast off. What did Moses pray? Lord, Lord, remember they're your people. What will the nations say if you forsake them? Lord, remember your covenant. It's amazing how many times people prayed in the Bible. Samson, when he was blinded and brought in by the little lad, he grabbed the pillars. You know what he prayed? Lord, remember me. You remember Hannah, she prayed in the temple. Lord, O Lord of hosts, look upon my affliction. Job said, O Lord, that thou wouldest remember me. Nehemiah three times, Lord, look and remember me. The psalmist, Psalm 106, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Psalm 25:6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, thy covenant kindness, thy loving kindness to, according to thy mercy, remember me. Remember thy congregation, he prayed in Psalm 74. Remember your mercy. You see what we're saying? He wore this for recognition. He wore this for representation of his people. You're represented by your Savior. But when your high priest has your name today in heaven, God the Father looks at your name upon your Savior. And he loves the Son. Son's the beloved of the Father. And as he looks at Christ in all his beauty, in all his glory, in all his holiness, he sees you and me. We're sinners. We're guilty. And Satan will tell you, how do you think you could ever be in heaven? How could you be a Christian? Look at how you feel. Look at how you're full of doubts. God looks upon your name. And God remembers the covenant that he's made. And he blesses you. He looks at your name. He looks upon you with mercy. There's a lovely hymn in our hymn book. And these are the words of it. Amidst the trials which I meet, amidst the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought shall remain supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, on me. Thou thinkest, Lord, on me. And when you see these stones of the high priest, see this object lesson here, the truth we want to get across is this. Christ has your name linked to him. And today in glory and continually, yes, we fail, yes, we sin. But he's able, Hebrews 7:25, able to save to the uttermost, completely. Why? Because Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. God the Father looks upon your name. And he looks upon his beloved Son. Our names are linked to him. I was reading recently a widow, her husband died, tragic circumstances. She said a few days later, she hadn't slept, it was coming dawn. I was painfully aware that I'd only entered widowhood a few weeks. Another restless night, I felt too weary to even pray. And I lay there after a sleepless night. I said, Lord, I sighed. Lord, I need somebody to pray for me. I do have somebody praying for me. My Savior is praying for me. My High Priest. Almost instantly, God's Spirit comforted my distraught mind with the words of Hebrews 7:25, ever living. And I remembered that Jesus Christ was praying for me at that very moment. What a wave of relief as I acknowledged that He was my successor. I will never forget how that bleak morning became gold-tinged with hope. Since then, I've continually drawn courage and comfort from the fact that my High Priest is always praying for me. Do you know anything about that? Are you saved? Is your name on His shoulder? It's only those by birth, only those who know Him as their Lord and Savior. Oh, but if you know Him as your Savior, He's praying for you. The lovely quote of Robert Murray McShane, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I'd not fear a million enemies. Ah, but distance doesn't make any difference. He is praying for me. And He's praying for me before the throne in heaven. He's wearing the ephod. He's praying for us. Let's take courage this morning and comfort in our great High Priest and His ephod.